for joining us on 4/20/21. And you've got the lovely Lorelei Poffin with Seraphine Hurley here. And thank you for joining us. We love your listenership. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you find us. We're not hard to find, either of us. And so tonight we're going to be talking about darkness versus the light, because why not, right? Lorelei, how are you doing today?
I am. Great. I'm going to give a shout out to Bill Bean, who is just on with Deli. He's been chatting with me right up to the minute that Joe's calling for StreamYard. He's going to be on my show next week because I screwed up. He was actually supposed to be on last night, but I double booked people. So thank God he was so flexible. But you're right about the lightness and the dark. Just remind people, come on over to United Public Radio's YouTube channel. That's where the chat is. We can see the chat from all the Facebook pages, from Twitch, all over. But we can't answer you through StreamYard. But I keep an eye on the YouTube chat so you can become part of the show. Questions, comments, we always try to involve you, right, Sarah? I don't know if I
Yes, lost absolutely right. I'm sorry, I was getting ready to share our live stream really quickly.
I'll keep so, it I was just going to say, we were talking today earlier, and as we always do, we decide the day of the show. Sometimes we decide ahead of time, and we were saying, what should we talk about? And we said, it was you that actually came up with this overall title, which I thought was great, because I had a bunch of ideas, but they all fall under it. She always comes up with the best titles, people. They're always hers. And the banner, thank you. She did a great
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's one of those things that you learn when you do what you do for a really long time. Marketing, 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 titles, artwork. Jazz hands.
When I had no idea how to make banners. I had no idea what I was doing. I just heard Spirit say yes. I had like two days. And I was live. I met you the first night. We were talking about this today at 15. Uh-huh. And we've been besties ever since. Hey, Shannon. Yep. Welcome.
Hey,
Jen. She's in our YouTube chat. Yeah, so we were talking about darkness versus light as it could be applied to what's going on right now throughout history. We even talked about revelations. Is this really, you know, is it following biblical proportions? There's so many things out there, right?
Yes, there's definitely so many things and so many points of view and things at the end of the day, but then you have to kind of be able to step back and look at the entire picture for itself and removing yourself from the picture before you look at it and go, hey, is this real or is this, you know, Memorex? You know, is this, am I really having this experience or is this experience having me?
I like that you said that. It's really important because that was part of what I was hoping we could talk about tonight too. Well, we talk before the show as we usually do, but I think it's all about perception and how you look at things in the world, because, you know, there's a lot of fear. Like I told you myself, I rarely get this way. Last Friday, I was emotionally, physically, spiritually, and energetically drained because there's just so much fear, so much anxiety, so much people not indecision, and a million people messaging you looking for guidance. And it seems you keep repeating the same message over and over, sometimes to the same people. And it just, I completely unplugged from social media last weekend. I told you that, right? Like I did a computer, I didn't look at it, and it was beautiful. I spent time before the snowstorm that we had and nice. Grounding and clearing. It was a really, really, really good thing. And I was going to mention, because you love this song, and I didn't know that you love this song, because Sarah and I do that sometimes. We'll pick a song, kind of go with our title of our show, and I picked Disturbed, The Light. And I love the lyric that says, sometimes the dark brings the light, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And sometimes, like, I'm gonna tail this tale out through the show, as you know me. If you don't already know, you're gonna figure out pretty quick that it's all perspective, that sometimes things that you are thinking is the darkest part of your issue is actually not the darkest part of your issue. It's perspective.
Well, the other thing that I find that, and it takes a lot to really look at this and say, does this fit with my reality? And it really sucks when you're going through it, but when really crappy stuff is happening, if you can really kind of step outside the box or step outside yourself and look back, the times that there's been really crappy stuff, and what did you gain from that? Lots of times it makes way for something better or a different path, or there's a lesson to be learned from that that you can carry forth through the rest of life. Because you find so many people, heck, there's a hashtag FML and people going on and on. And I love how you call it sad fishing. And some people just love to live in that energy, the darkness. Yeah. Like, right?
Well, yeah, I was going to add to that a little, because you start talking, I didn't want to interrupt your flow there. But that's very true, that like when you were taking the break from the computer, I'm so glad that you did, because we both get inundated with stuff. I mean, for the good or for the bad, not everybody is a kookbird, but a great lot of people are. And it's like either they're sad fishing, or they're just fishing, or I want to be special fishing, or whatever. And it's pathetic. And it's like, and it bleeds into your, if you let it, it's going to bleed into your life. It's going to bleed into your day. It's going to ruin your morning. It's going to, you know, or whenever you're checking your emails or your social media. And then like the sad fishing thing, I can't get over it. The same people are the worst offenders over and over and over. It's like, I really don't want to be a jerk. Excuse me. And block everyone that I see, because I'd end up just dumping Facebook altogether, because I am just so tired of the woe is me junk. And it's like, I just can't.
Or real fears that people have. And, you know, in a way, when you step back, I guess, and this isn't coming from ego, I guess you should feel honored that people feel to reach out. But the thing is, you know, one person does, but they don't realize that there's 100 others that are doing the same, right? So it just became too much. And I'm a real believer, and it was myself, because when we do this work and you're an empath, you need to have spiritual hygiene, whatever you want to call it, energetic. Yes. And
that's a good word.
Died in the last week. And that's what the issue was. And I always say, being a spiritual teacher, and you're a teacher as well of many of these types of energy principles too, that if we're going to talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. So when I teach these things, I teach them because I do them myself. So that's how you fix it. Like, so many people were saying, like, what do we do? What do we do? Like, because we really are under a lot of oppression here in Canada, especially in Ontario, with what's going on. And it can be very dark, and people are very, very afraid. What can we do? What can we do? I mean, I know what's going on, but how do I stop it? How about just sit with that energy, share information? You know, even a lot of people get very afraid when they find some information. To me, knowledge is empowering. Mm-hmm. This is going to last forever. It won't. It really won't. I mean, it may be a new normal. It may be whatever. But I truly believe that light always triumphs over darkness, always, or good versus evil. I don't know, Sarah, what do you think?
Perspective. Because the one thing that you learn in life is that some things that seem like they're light and some things that seem like they're dark aren't entirely always the same, or are light or dark per se. Let's just say that you think that you're doing good for the greater good of the universe, but how do you know you're not really doing something horribly diabolical?
I never,
for your own purpose.
You know, I mean, thinking of the butterfly effect when you said that you know, one little thing and the ripples it can create. That's true. Like somebody, you know, people were asking me, like, do I write letters? Do I do this? Do I, you know, you do whatever you need to do to make you feel better. But this is a waiting game. This wasn't something that was going to be over in 2 minutes. And you're right. Sometimes it's not quite what it seems. It's hard when you're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I've been saying to people is one person can make a difference, including everything on this planet is energy, including our words, our thoughts, and our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that fear, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. How about thinking of what you want to be? Talking Sterling Meyer about manifestation and how we create our own reality. Like, she even talked about how she's sitting in her car at the light, And she was listening to tunes, and some guy comes and rams her up the rear end of her car. And as she started going through this process, she said, I created this. And at first, in the beginning, she's going to herself, what the heck, how did I create this? And she got a story about it. But what she was trying to make the point, we draw everything towards us, including the fact that we are all here in this time and place right now for a reason, not here by, right?
Exactly. Creating your own, in essence, your own basic existence. Even when people are sliding in and out of your timeline, you are even sliding in and out of different timelines at the same time. I know it sounds crazy, guys, but bear with us. So you're going to realize at some point that there's some truth to what I'm saying here, is that the things that happen ebb and flow. And like Laura Lee was saying, it's like when you're saying, when something awful happens, it doesn't make it an evil thing. It makes it, let's say, a teachable moment. It's like, oh yeah, that was really horrible. And oh yeah, that person lost their life and that really stinks. And yeah, it's really horrible for all the parties involved, but you may not see it at that moment.
Well, I
but
find
you learn something from it.
Oh, sorry, honey.
I pause, actually. So
yeah, I should have waited. I'm gonna read Shannon's comments in just a sec because they're really good. But I wanted to add that I meet many people that when something crappy happens, they blame a higher power and they turn their back on that. They hate God or whoever their belief is. And
probably blame other people.
Yeah, why does God allow this to happen? Why does blah, blah, blah? But again, trying to explain that to somebody, and again, I'm not always right, but as I see it, a lot of people don't like to hear this. We pick everything before we come into this incarnation, including your bestie, your family, your parents, the type of life you're going to have. Actually, I kind of have to resonate with what Sterling was saying last night, because I agree they've shown this from that. She said from the age of 3 to 17. I say more from the age of 0 days old up to 7. The human brain is like a sponge. So a lot of our beliefs, a lot of things that we absorb into our subconscious are things that we hear from our parents. They're our first authority figures. And I'm not putting blame on parents. Parents do the best that they can, or most do. But, you know, things they even say about money. You know, thinking that, you know, how many of us have heard, well, money doesn't grow on trees, or no, we can't afford that. Or when you hear that as a child, you absorb that and it goes into the subconscious. You hang on to some of those beliefs. A lot of times we carry them forward into adulthood and we don't even realize it. I just wanted to read Shannon's comments because they were pretty cool here. She said, hello, ladies. She said, as medical professionals, I say we suffer from wounded puppy syndrome. We find broken people and often feel the need to fix them. That is very true. And we often have to remind ourselves sometimes we can't fix everything. Sometimes the puppy has to be put down, speaking metaphorically. And she says, I know myself at points, I just don't have the energy for negativity or whatever. So I protect myself and shut down.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's very true. And some of us get over it, fortunately, at some point in our lives and step away from the table and go, well, I can't do this anymore. Just got to step out of that existence where I think I've got to fix it all, because you can't really. And as much as you want to get the feels or whatever and continue thinking that you can save the world, you really are not responsible for all of that.
For any, except for yourself. And
exactly.
This is some of the things with the darkness into light that was creating a lot of fearing, and be very careful with the language that I use. But let's call it the remedy that starts with B. A lot of people are educating themselves and deciding not to make that decision, but all of their family have gone the other way. And some people, and I don't blame them, like it's maybe their spouse or their children or whomever, and they're going for that remedy. And the person that's not taking the remedy, say as the parent or the other spouse, having to sit back and see that for what repercussions that we are strongly anticipating or starting to see already, doesn't mean it's going to happen. But there's pretty good chance, because there's too many unknowns. That's a really difficult position to sit within. But it gets to the point, and this is a hard thing to say, we can't control anybody. Everybody's responsible for their own decisions. And I must have said this 100 times over the last week to people, that as strongly as you feel about your convictions, so does the other person. And even though they may not meet with your convictions, there's no way you're going to change their mind, just like they're not going to change your mind. So it gets the point of, do we agree to disagree, be at a standstill? Otherwise, you know, there's one parent in particular that I'd been hearing from quite a bit, and she's getting verbal abuse from her children, thinking she's a nut bar, and really trying to convince them that, please don't do this, just wait. And I finally had to, you know, she had asked for my assistance, and all I could say to her was, you need to realize, again, what I just said, and the more that you push this topic and this situation, it's going to create a rift and a divide. You're going to have to let it go. And that's a really hard thing, because when you love somebody that much, you know, a lot of people don't realize you can't control what they do. And again, it's to watch,
yeah,
but have another solution to offer to anybody. I don't know. What's your thought, Sarah?
Yeah, my thought on that is, it takes a while to be able to, and some people never are able to step away from the situation. And the one thing that helped me see is just take the metaphor of putting your face in front of a burning candle. You know it's going to burn you, right? And you know that every time that you get your face too close to it, you're going to get another welt, because it's going to keep, the candle's going to keep doing the same thing. The flame is going to burn you over and over and over again, but you keep sticking your face in there. The candle's not going to move away. You're the one that's got to make that active choice. Mm-hmm. So once you realize that you're in control of the distance between the candle and your face, mm-hmm. there you go.
That's a beautiful metaphor. And the same thing, I want to make that clear, that it wasn't that I was fed up. It was just that I was recognizing within myself. And I don't think you've ever heard me say that deeply, like three aspects there. I was like literally drained. Mm-hmm. And again, I create because I wasn't keeping up with what I normally do to, you know, if you want to call it energetic hygiene, mm-hmm. normal practices that I do. And so that's what I took that time for. It wasn't that I was, you know, pulling away or anything like that. It was that I knew I needed to follow some of my own advice to recharge my batteries, if you will. And mm-hmm. I have kind of what we've signed up for, I know, for what I'm doing, but still, I think we have to have boundaries too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot.
Yeah. No, I was just going to add to that, that you're very right with that. And, but our naggy spirit guide screaming at me right now, because there's somebody that's saying, oh no, but you don't get it, that some things just do blah, 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 and you just can't get away with it, get away from it or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I get that. You're drama Sally. You're one of those people that think that everything bad happens to you and it's all personal. Well, guess what? You can actually walk away. It's like social media drama and everything else in your life. You can actually choose to stop spinning. That's under your control. Things that are out of your control are actually out of your control, but you can actually walk past that little break in the path for a second and go, I just need to take a break for a second and sit. I'm going to sit over here. And you can flap your arms around and freak out, but I'm going to be over here not freaking out because I can't essentially do anything about it. So what is freaking out going to really gain you in situations like that? It's like, coming from people that are overly dramatic, I can tell you that you can sit there and listen and listen and listen until you're blue in the face, but adding to it is not going to subtract the drama. Or trying to offer up any kind of action to try to seduce the drama to be calmed is not going to help either. So it either is going to fizzle out on its own, it's going to play out, and your contact with it. And I'm just saying the general your, you can actually put your foot out and stop that flat spin. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to be spinning and flapping your arms around. That's entirely up to you.
Well, I think what it is too, is a lot of people that are sitting in that energy, and rightfully so. And, you know, I think they want a quick pill to fix it, but they're not realizing that that they're contributing to the darkness, if you will, with the energy that's going on in this world. And even getting back to it, you know, I've met so many people that believe that this relates completely to revelations. And the really creepy thing is, yes, I went to Catholic school till 13th grade. We had grade 13 at that time here in Ontario and Canada. And I talked my parents out of Catholic school in 10th grade. I just remember that. I actually went to a regular high school. I was just saying that to you earlier today, Sarah. And in 6th grade, we had to do a speech. I have no idea why I chose this. Maybe because I've always had the paranormal around me. I decided to do a speech on revelations. And at that time, Ronald Reagan was in power. I forget what Ronald Reagan's middle name is, but it had 6 letters, and Ronald had 6. I had so many analogies into 666 and talking about the bear and the eagle and all the animals. And they actually kind of represent a lot of the countries and the strife that we're going through right now. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but you could also make it match a lot of stuff as well, because we're always in constant conflict with China, always. There's always something going on over there.
I guess this is because I've had a lot of people, or I've seen a lot of people taking that platform that this is end of days. This is the end of the world.
So which makes me want to vomit.
Well, I don't think people understand what the real meaning of apocalypse is.
And I know.
But all it means is the ending of something and going, you know, moving forward into a different beginning kind of thing. But it's not specifically apocalypse means end of the world.
I know, right? But end of the world means end of the world. But like I've said, and we've said before on other shows, is that the end of the world happens for a lot of people in different places all over the planet, essentially every single day, any second of the moment, the end of the world happens. And I'm not just saying individual death. I'm talking about genocides. I'm talking about pandas being wiped off the planet, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of crazy stuff, but it doesn't mean it's the apocalypse. It means that we're moving on into a different era. It doesn't mean royal we either, because some people are not going to be in the same space anymore.
That is true. I want to thank Shannon. Thank you. I can never remember his middle name. The reason why, though, I had taken everything going on. You remember, I was 11 years old. That helped me a bit, but I remember doing a speech and my teacher was horrified and everybody was like, oh! I couldn't say more. I did it intelligently. I didn't do it to freak people out. I used facts at that time, but people were seeing where I was making the comparisons and it freaked people out. Actually, Shannon said Ronald Wilson Reagan. That's right. 6 letters to every name.
Thank you, Shannon.
But, you know, a lot of people really liked Ronald Reagan, but there's a lot he was involved in too. Like, for example, a lot of people, and I've had this argument with the doctor that I see every month, I knew within 20 seconds, and I'm not being a know-it-all nurse or arrogant, but I knew he didn't know what he was talking about. And I doubt he's listening to us, but if you are, no disrespect, but you didn't. I want to check this. What is the impetus for somebody to remedy safely when there is no ability to sue the big pharma? And he said, what are you talking about? You can sue big pharma, sue a drug company. I said, yes, you can, but you can't about vaccines. And in the US, that was created in 1986 by Ronald Reagan, that act, that they have no responsibility towards creating safe remedies. And it's written in your laws, and every 75 cents of every remedy that's out there goes into a fund. And it's not a FISA court, but it's the higher part of Supreme Court that you go before. If you've had an injury, you have to hire a lawyer, and they get to decide if you have an injury and how severe it is and what that injury is worth. A lot of people walk out with very, very, very little money. And we never hear about this. That's not just in the US. This goes pretty well across the world in all developed countries. And it gets pretty dark. I guess even to me, you know, with the light worker world, they've been talking about this ascension that's coming. I've always thought it's very elitist. And I know you've heard of it, Sarah. What do you think of it?
I think it's just wishful thinking snobbery. Yes. You think that you're just going to, I think that the way we've said it before, and I'm saying the royal, me and Laura, you know, Sarah Lee here, that we talk about it as, you know, being in a different shifted timeline and things like that. I wouldn't say ascended, unless you plan on being an ascended master, which that's an entirely different show. But not many people qualify for that label, just to let you know. So, because a lot of the ascended masters have already been chosen, so you got to work your tail off essentially to even make the list.
You've but quite a few turnarounds back at Earth before you even get close to that one.
I know, right? But it's like trying to explain to a child about, well, you know, it's great to think about, you know, Santa Claus and everything else. And, you know, I still believe in Santa Claus, but I have to be honest with you that I've been providing the Santa Claus, you know, but I still believe in the Santa Claus because Santa Claus is real, you know, because Santa Claus is real. And so are fairies. And, but the thing is that it's six of one and a half a dozen of the other, right? Where people are like, well, this is that and that. Well, I'm going to be ascended and I'm going to do this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you have fun with the rapture. I'll bring the margaritas and the barbecue dip. You know?
Yes,
I'll just watch it from down here.
Find, and the good people will ascend to second earth. This is what I've been hearing from some of the woo-woo lightworker community. And I've been hearing this for a few years. And for me, I think it's just coming from a place of ego that we're better than you. We and everything. So we shall ascend while you bad people will stay where you are.
I do not think what you think it means, it means. I don't think so. I do not think so.
We're in change, but you know, when you look at the world, I'm not crazy about what's happened, but we do need a change. And, you know, even with our fiat currency, if you will, that's long overdue. It's past life support. And we are due for a financial change. That's going to be a shakeup. Now, if this has to do with it, time will tell. It has to happen. There's no other way. Like, we never should have went to the fiat currency, but the powers back in the 70s did, knowing full happen. And we have to deal with the repercussions. Now, what's going on with this? It could go either way. Like, heck, I'm ready to go dark tonight, Sarah, because I'm going to go there with this. And Joe always teases me about the being conspiracy princess. He said he has another friend that's a queen. He says of conspiracy. But, you know, to me, and yes, I've seen FEMA do this for all kinds of things. But I remember seeing this about 5 years ago. They had many practice sessions for a zombie apocalypse. And I've had this discussion with many people. Yes, FEMA does have practice sessions for many things, but those are feasible. Like, we have enough people reporting having ET experiences, UFO experiences, other stuff. But why would you have a practicing for the zombie apocalypse?
Like, yeah. Exactly. And it gets deeper, guys, because just to bounce off what Laura just said, if you read the fine print, and this is actually on the CDC guidelines on their website, if you go down all of those little drop boxes, it keeps on going. So it is actually free information that you can get. So when you read it, in one of the instances, which they say is probable, which probable for those of you that don't mean or understand what that means, it means quite likely to happen, is that a zombie apocalypse from some kind of disease, some kind of wasting disease, or from a virus, or from contact with extraterrestrials. Those are the top three. Top three, guys. Not even a word of a lie. It's crazy.
Like, everybody thinks that's fictitious, right? To me, why would you spend taxpayers' dollars, government money, for something that's fictitious? I've had speculation. We should give him a shout out, Joe Montaldo, the owner of UPRN, and he makes our job easy. He does all the producing for us. And he, that's Well, they've done a practice session for everything. Yes, they have, but those are all likely potential scenarios. Like,
yes, you know, and they are very costly. I was going to say they're called disaster relief exercises, and these things cost millions of dollars and involve all kinds of emergency crews from all over the world, wherever they decide they're going to do them from. And they all do it on one day during the month, whenever they decide to do it, in whatever year that they decide to do it in. And it's a global thing. So there's global preparedness for this one certain thing.
Yeah, FEMA, and it's by that name. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. In the yep. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that creepy? Mm-hmm. Only it's called FEMA, eh?
FEMA, eh? Because to me, every other thing that they practice for, just in case it would happen, yes, that could be a potentiality. Until The Walking Dead, I mean, it was just a really creepy caution that people pulled for Halloween. And then what got me, and I'm getting goosebumps, like goosebumps on goosebumps talking about this, before The Walking Dead. And if you've ever seen the first episode, I know you have, Sarah.
I love it.
How that started, I have goosebumps. Can you see the goosebumps? Mm-hmm. I mean, perfectly normal world, and a kid that's a junkie is in a church with his girlfriend, crashing there. Mm-hmm. He wakes up, call her, and she turns around, and she's eating people, and she's a zombie, and he thinks he's tripping out. So he runs out of the church, and then he starts seeing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Find out with the series, yes, if you got bitten or scratched, yes, this could happen, but the minute you die, that's what you turn into.
Yep. The reanimated dead.
Is it? Yeah, but is this predictive programming, or is this, you know, like, what is this? We've had Z Nation as a movie. There's this series out there now about this, and I hate to tell you, folks, and I think I brought this up last night, or maybe it was on Friday night, that they always tell you, and they are those that run the world. I believe that. I'm sorry. Do your own research. You don't have to believe me. Just don't use Silicon Valley's G-O-O-G-L-E, because that's a little censored. Do your own research, but be prepared for Pandora's box when you lift the lid off.
Mm-hmm. But
start looking about who makes these decisions and who does what. I don't know. You know, like, do we really know even what's in this remedy? We don't.
No. Well, the thing is, too, though, when we're talking about all of these things, that when you're talking about the programming and everything else, but are we starting a line of predictive programming where we're actually being part of the sketch, where we're actually starting to write some of the programming ourselves?
We could be. That's where I was going with that. Sorry, Sarah. But what I was going to say is, they always tell you, like, it's up to you to figure out how they tell you. It's being fair. How many times have you seen the theory out there? Are the Simpsons basically, do they have a psychic on staff? No, because they have a heads up about what's coming. They know what's coming. And how many times have they been right? Something that they've shown. They've known 2 or 3 years in advance. Even Family Guy, Seth, what's his name there? I can see him. That writes for Family Guy. He's talked about many things out in public, kind of drops little hints here and there about stuff, because they know. So there's a movie out there called Songbird that was put out this year. Check that out, folks. That'll give you is that predictive programming? Meaning they're kind of putting it out there. Like you said, Sarah, I love that you said, are we creating this? Because you put that idea in people's heads, enough people focus on it, everything's energy, almost like a tulpa in a way, you know, like, for those of you, everyone knows what a tulpa is, but for people that may not know, you know, things like the New Jersey Devil or something like that, that's a bad example. Thin Man or Slender Man. That came from a creepy pasta, a story that people were really into. It kind of went viral. All of a sudden, these things are showing up. You're seeing pictures of them. They're not doctored pictures. Where did it come from? Right? Enough people thought about it. Enough people thought about it. Mm-hmm.
And like those clowns that were starting to show up there for a little while, there was all over the place in Canada and in the US and South America. They're having, and I know some places in the UK and the EU, it was happening. where doorbell cams and dash cams are catching creepy clowns or cutesy clowns standing there doing creepy things. And it just happened like in groups. Like it would happen here and then it would happen over there and then it would be quiet for a little bit and then it would happen again. It's like, that's not even funny.
So creepy.
And people are like, well, is that good or bad? It's like, well, once again, it's all kind of relative in general. But the thing is, if I found somebody outside the camera on my door messing around, you don't want to be that person, I promise you. Before I'll have fun before the cops get here, I tell you.
You just made me think of something when you said that. Are we creating that? So this stuff that they're putting out there that we've, not we, like the royal we, meaning anybody, like have labeled predictive programming, are they really putting it out there knowing enough people will watch it, enough people will think about it, some people will focus on it, and that will bring it to fruition? Right? I don't know.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, is that, you know, everybody says, be careful what you wish for. Well, there's truth in that, because some people believe that wishes don't come true and there's no such thing as miracles. And I'm here to tell you, for the black and the white of it, yeah, they do. And you're either that lucky SOB that it actually happened to, or you're that person who walks around with their head in the ditch going, it's never going to happen. And then one of those days, you're going to wish for the wrong thing and it's going to, bam, it's going to happen. And then you're going to be like, well, I didn't want that. Well, yeah, you did.
And again, this sounds woo-woo, but I mean, science is starting to prove some of these things, but the laws of the universe and this planet that we live on is a planet of manifestation. Thank God it doesn't happen really super quick, because a lot of things, like you said, that we may wish for, say in anger, say in jealousy, say in whatever it may be, that God forbid it happened, you'd feel terrible about. But in the moment of a hot emotion, you know, all wish terrible things on people when we've been angry or, you know, upset or hurt or revenge or whatever it may be. And thank God they don't come true.
Well, you know, I like to save my passionate moments for the times that it really will serve me. And I learned a long time ago that hate is a very strong thing. And there's very few people that I actually do hate. And when I mean it like filthy down to the core hatred, dripping in ooze hatred. It's like, do you wish evil on people? Not really. But some people, do I wish they die a slow, agonizing death? Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'd say I hate. I don't know if there's anybody that I really, really, really hate. There's some that I dislike very strongly, including who is running the show right now. Do I hate them? No. But like I said, in a moment of anger, we've all thought terrible things, especially when somebody's done something really awful to you. And we've all had that happen, especially as you move on in life. But I don't know, like, I'm starting to think about this. Are we creating this? And to me, this is where it got me thinking along this line about zombies. Mm-hmm. And, I hadn't before. I keep hearing it coming up more and more in different circles and what have you. So people are focusing on this. Somebody sent me a video. And when I first started watching this, I was like, WTF? It starts out with this long, thin, looks like a black shoelace in this pet bowl. Mm-hmm. And where did this worm come from when you left your pet's water outside? And then it starts talking about this particular worm that hatches in a stream. And that's where it needs to hatch. And through different animal transfer, it eventually starts to live its life cycle out in these different animals. But its goal is to get to, of all things, I have no idea why, a cricket. What it does is the cricket, I don't know, I think it eats the eggs through droppings or something. Anyways, this worm ends up growing inside of it. It literally takes over the cricket's body. It's gross, guys. I'm sorry, I'll give you a warning. It eats most of the organs. This cricket is still moving, like it's erratic, like it has no control. It is like a zombie.
It's a zombie cricket.
It's a zombie cricket. Totally is. And what its goal is, this worm, is to make, it reminds me of Pickle Rick.
Right?
Yeah.
Rick and Morty, guys.
Yeah, it makes the cricket go to the water and commit hari kari to get into the water. Don't go in water. And then it comes out of the cricket and it goes back to the life cycle of laying the eggs. I am like got goosebumps. And
The
it do all these videos and starts because it had me thinking about the remedy with some of the things that was talking about. And I'm going, no way. No way. And I'm watching this the whole time going, WTF, but there has to be a reason. So
Mm.
watching it starts breaking into more and more information about the remedy. Then it focuses on our wonderful leader of our province in Ontario, as I call him, Slug Ford. Most people, he's quite notorious around the world. Anyways, and he says, well, this is in a press conference. I would be hung out to dry, as would anybody else, the leader of a country or whatever it may be, if they didn't listen to their lead medical professionals. It then cuts to a hot mic moment from our Canadian doctors who were doing a press conference, didn't realize the mic was still on. There's a woman and a man sitting there, and the woman's going, she's shuffling her papers. I don't know why I bring these. I never even read them. And the guy goes, well, sometimes I look at them for the numbers. She goes, are you kidding? She goes, if I had to read them, she goes, I just look at them beforehand. And if I have to read them, I just read whatever they tell me to say. So then it cuts back to his comment again about he has to follow the directions of his top medical professionals. Really? Well, according to them, when they didn't know the microphone was on, you're writing the script. That's what this video was
Yes.
about. But my point is, I had already arrived at this thought without knowing, even before it started jumping into this medical information and stuff, with this cricket and worm. And I'm hearing this more and more from different circles, not just conspiracy theorists, not just from truth seekers. I'm hearing this from some, real physicians that have worked in this field, all over. Like, how do we know that's not what this is? I don't know. Be pretty darn creepy if it was, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it would be.
I
But
had to. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say that, when we're talking about development and the things that are happening and all that other stuff, and people are like, well, why should I do this and why should I do that? And it's like, well, I just think that this situation that we're in is just grooming us for an even larger situation that nobody's going to be ready for. And we're just queuing for that next big thing because, honest, in all honesty, getting any kind of jab is not going to help your situation. It's only going to make it easier for you to travel or be around your family. Wearing masks doesn't really protect you either because they're not making you wear gloves, are they? Think about that one. Cross contamination is a thing, guys.
Mr.
So.
has told us already that part two is coming. I leave on every one of our hashtags, you would put that first, and I always leave it. Something is coming. I hear this from psychics. I hear this from people that are intuitive. I hear this from people that, and a lot of people have had visions of stuff that have come true. I hear this and I believe this, and I keep hearing that this is just rehearsal, just a rehearsal.
It's just a dress rehearsal.
I'm not trying to be fear mongering with.
No.
I think what it is that you have to do what you believe. And I always tell people, and I have great respect for people that say this too, you don't have to believe what I say. Please don't believe what I say. But if something that I've said has triggered any kind of response or curiosity, please go out and do your own research. Do, because you will see going the way what you go through and how you go through it. That what's truth, what's fallacy, what kind of information is out there, and there's enough out there that you can compare and use reputable sources to look at these kind of things. So, there's a reason why before you have surgery that it's called informed consent. Are supposed to be informed about the risks, side effects, and benefits of having that procedure before you sign for consent. it's the same thing with anything else that you put in your body, that you have any kind of alteration to your body. That doesn't even matter if it's a piercing or a tattoo. You should know all those things before you say yes.
Yes, and I agree with that. But herein lies the rub, though. When you're in a global situation, let's say, for the sake of argument, that when, let's say, certain laws have gone into effect, they don't have to do certain things. You're required to basically queue and do what you're told, and your rights for disclosure kind of go out the window when it's an emergency situation, and the powers that be know that.
Right now, I will tell you, any lawyer right now will tell you this. Most, what do I want to say, ethical and reputable physicians will tell you the same thing, that you should have informed consent. That is the right in most developed countries. I agree with you. If we were in certain scenarios, I don't believe that we're in that situation right now. And I still think, regardless of the situation, that whether they give you a choice or not, nobody has come out and said this is mandatory. In Canada, what they're doing, they're saying, no, it's not mandatory, but they've already passed a federal law that has said that any employer has the right, excuse me, to lay off their employee indefinitely if they refuse to get this.
Yeah, they're doing it here too.
And but no benefit. So you basically are doing it with no money. Same thing. There's been many on TV with quite the smart ass smirk on their face when they've said it, that no, it's not mandatory, but just realize that you won't be going anywhere. You won't be allowed medical care, school, work, shopping, anything. You will not
be going care. Yep.
So how is that? So I guess you got to stand your ground, like you said, educate yourself. And the thing is, what I don't think people realize, and especially where I live, and no, I don't know every single person in my country, but the majority of people I have spoken to truly believe that as good children, if we just listened to what our parents, the government, told us, that life would be back to normal, not realizing that no, that's not what's going to happen. You still have to wear a mask. You're still going, people are getting the issue at the remedy for. You still have to social distance. You still have to do these things. And yet there are medications out there that could treat this. To me, I don't know, just logically, because there's not been enough time to look at the repercussions of even, for all we know, this could turn off within a week and not even work anyways. Nobody knows.
Yeah, but here, I was going to add to that, that you can't give informed consent if you don't know yourself what you're doing. And that's the problem that is being had, is because there hasn't been enough time for anything to actually happen proportionately, or for anybody to really know what's going to happen. And that's no excuse. That's just outright, they can't, because they really don't know. You're basically the guinea pig at the same time. It's like, oh my gosh, that happened, so let's yank this because the other ones aren't causing the same amount. But can they do it? Yeah, and there's going to be more, and it doesn't matter how you feel, because you're not going to get a choice, is my point. We can count through how all of this is going to play out. The point is, right now, you do have a choice. In a little while, you're not. For those of you that are still working, not in the private sector, if you're in public, they're going to require it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, like you said, Sarah, though, yes, they should be telling you that you in a stage 4 research trial, as some physicians I've seen have come out and said. They need to tell you that. What my concern is, and I actually thought it was fear porn, somebody sent me something, I think it was Friday, that the military was going door to door to housing projects in Milton, Ontario, which is outside of Toronto, not close to it, but not like maybe a couple hours outside of Toronto, but there's a military base by there. I thought this was crazy, so I don't share stuff like that until I can verify it or get more information. So next thing that gets sent to me the following morning, it's in the newspaper. So they were going to people. You think who's living in a housing project? Probably probably people that are maybe single moms, elderly people, disabled people that don't speak English. So you're going door to door, zip, zip, zip. And I said to you, I think I said this to you myself, and I'm sure Shannon will agree with me, that you could train a monkey to give an injection. That's not the problem. The problem is knowing, as a healthcare professional, what you're injecting, why you're injecting it, how much you should be giving somebody, what the potential side effects are, all kinds of things, what kind of medications the person is on. Those are all the things you should put the healthcare professional, and there's many more. I just pulled those off the top of my head. So that's my concern. Like, they're here. Like, I don't know. I just don't get it. Or Walmarts that are doing this. Like, I don't get this. I don't.
It's because they're passing on the liability because they don't actually know everything about it. They just know A, B, and maybe C and parts of F. They don't know all of it. And what they can tell, even the people, the only people who really know are the developers, but how much do they really know? And that's the same of everything, though. But right now we're dealing with a situation that's highly volatile, be it good or be it evil. It's really super volatile. And you're dealing with people's lives either way, whether you get poked or not, you know. But it's somebody had written me not long ago, actually in the last week, talking about, well, people are saying that they're giving these things at dentist's office, and how can the dentist assistant give it to you? It's like the dental assistant's a nurse. They actually do injections, but it's more likely going to be the dentist himself that does it, because they have medical training. So
don't give injections. I know just the dentist does, unless you're, say,
yeah, that's what I just said.
Mm-hmm. So I know they don't do that here, but again, we're in different countries. If you're at a dental office and like a oral surgeon's office, yeah, they hire nurses and stuff to do that. But I know at least in Canada, dental assistants can't do that kind of stuff.
No, but my point is that they're pairing off the liabilities, where they're dropping it off different places and different stations because there's no liability with it. Do you see where I'm going with this? That if it comes from somewhere else.
I missed it. I see where you're going with it. Yeah. Okay, so let's go here. Dr. Kim has been very vocal about this. She is an internal specialist from the U.S., and I love the gift that she has. She can break down medical terminology into lay language that is very easily understood, and she's been speaking long before this came out. Right when it started happening, she's speaking. And she isn't the only one that said this. I've done a bit of research on it. A lot of people may not be aware of this, but what they're finding out is cardiac disease, where you develop plaques in your arteries, actually come from dental bacteria. And she said she was part of a study where they were giving zithromycin or something, or some people may call it the Z-Pak. And the way she explained it very simplistically was, dental bacteria goes through your bloodstream, ends up in the arteries and the veins, and the body, as she put it, they don't want the walls of the artery to blow out. So what does the body do? It's very intelligent, she said. It creates plaques. Now, isn't that interesting? You have dental plaque, and then the body creates plaques in the arteries. That's what they call that when you've got clogged arteries.
Mm-hmm.
She said that they started this study, and she said the results were phenomenal. Blockages were clearing. It was just blowing their minds. All of a sudden they got a directive, stop the study. And all these doctors, and this is her words, not mine, all these doctors are saying, why? This is working incredible. Why would we ever stop this? And these are her words again, not mine. She says they were told, you need to stop this. It's not something we want to cure. Basically, it makes a lot of money for big pharma, for all kinds of people involved in the healthcare field. And we've seen this as well as with cancer. We know that there's other countries that have treated cancer very successfully, and not using chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money in it.
Oh, yeah. And that's what it's like. How rich do you need to be? There's so many things happening mm-hmm. in pharmacy. I mean, between both of us, Laura and I have a lot of stuff that we have to deal with and need to see doctors for and whatever. And it is a pain in the rear end, because if you don't have, you know, an ATM machine in your rear end, mm-hmm. you're up a creek. Like the situation I'm in right now, I can't go get medication because I'm freaking in Florida and drugs are bad here. So they like to say that there's legalization of marijuana, but it's not legalization. Where I'm from in Washington State, it's freaking legal. I can go into any shop and get the legal limit, just pay cash for it and walk out and go home and not be in pain for a while. Here, if you have the money to pay for a medical card and they deem it necessary for you to get one and keep up with all of that, and after you buy product, you're talking about, probably about $600. Mm-hmm. And then you got to keep up with that every 3-4 months to get another card. That's not legalization. That's slavery.
Well, it's legal here. I don't use that problem with anybody that does. But I don't have to pay for healthcare. But I don't, when I say I don't have to pay up front. Because a lot of people, Sarah knows this, I always tell her she's an official Canadian. She lives so close to the border. A lot of people in Canada, everything's paid for. Folks, everything is not paid for.
They're taxed out the wazoo.
You would not believe what we pay in tax. And never mind all the things that you guys have health insurance for. We have to get health insurance for eye care, dental care, for drugs. And a lot of companies don't pay for all the drugs either. They may do a copay and pay a little portion. Any extra health care. I remember having this conversation with somebody that lived in California because they were of that belief system. And once I educated them, they were blown away because they were going, well, I had to pay for my son's circumcision. I said, well, you think I didn't have to? And she goes, well, I had to pay this. I said, I paid 3 times. I said, we're not having a pissing match here to see who paid more. I said, all I know is what you believe is not true. Mm-hmm. And I, the only reason, and I've said, I think to you and a couple of my other friends in the US, the only thing that's kept me from moving to the US is that I have pre-existing medical issues. And the other thing is that, you know, I wouldn't want to lose everything that I don't have that much anyways, but to lose everything, if you had a really serious illness, like, you know, cancer, or you need a kidney transplant or something like that. And I don't think that's right either. I don't know what the answer is, because I have access to your healthcare. I've paid for it. I've gone to the Mayo Clinic. And mm-hmm. the one thing I like about your system versus ours is it's a business. Where we are, it's so misused, because they get paid the minute the doctor swipes your card. Mm-hmm. It's pretty well difficult to sue a doctor up here. And I can tell you that from personal experience. I never tried to sue one, but could have. Very difficult. And you usually kind of end up coming out with nothing in the end. By the time you go through years of litigation, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer is.
And we're talking about this, and I hope we have some medical professionals that are listening, because this is a thing. When America dreams of socialized medicine, I don't know why they dream of socialized medicine, the fact that they're ever enamored by the fact that they believe that it's free. Somebody's got to pay for it, you libtard, at the end of the day. Somebody pays for it, and guess what? It's usually me, and I'm not happy to be picking it up, letting you know. And the thing is that people have to pick up the slack. It's not just the tax